Welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast, the podcast where we talk about new and exciting technologies, professional development, clean code, career advancement, and more. I'm John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.
With us today is Tracy Lee. Tracy is a Google developer expert, JavaScript developer, and serial entrepreneur. She is the co-founder of This.Labs, a framework agnostic agency helping mentor teams build ambitious apps. Welcome, Tracy.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So Tracy, before we get started, would you just tell us a little bit about yourself and sort of how you got started in the industry?
Sure. I have been doing startups, I think, most of my professional career. And a few years ago, as I was selling my last tech startup, I decided to actually start programming. So I decided to choose JavaScript. And I really just wanted to dip my toe in, but I kind of fell in love with it. And I've never looked back since. So I've been doing it for about 3 to 4 years now. I am on the ArcGIS core team. I'm a Google developer expert. I spend a lot of time keynoting at conferences related to reactive programming and just trying to teach people why it's important to start thinking reactively and how those types of things change. And I also started a company with a bunch of my friends called This.Labs. And what we do is we do JavaScript consulting. So we're framework agnostic. We work with a lot of the different core contributors of all the different frameworks and libraries. So if you're excited about JavaScript and you need help, we can definitely provide it through a lot of different things like open source lobbying or open source support contracts, or even just pairing as a service, right? Sometimes you just need to talk to the author to figure out why the hell your code is not working.
So why don't you tell us a little bit more about your involvement in Angular and the RxJS team?
Well, I try to remain framework agnostic, but let's talk about Angular first. I really love the Angular community, the Angular team. As I have approached and been a part of a ton of different communities, whether they be JavaScript or not, I've sort of realized that, you know, it really does make a strong difference about who you are as a leader, and that especially comes from the core teams. So the Angular team has been very intentional in making sure they set very good examples and talk about how to set good examples within the community. And I think what you get there is a very healthy community that knows, like, okay, we're all leaders here. If we're a part of the Angular community, we know what to do, what not to do, and how to behave and how other people should behave. So I really love that. And I try to bring a lot of that stuff into the RxJS core team. In terms of Angular right now, I really love where the team has been taking things. So one big recent update has been that the Angular team has decided to officially support RxJS. So Ben Lesh, who is the author of RxJS 5 and above, joined the Angular core team and gets to work on RxJS on some part of his time. Angular team and RxJS core team have all been very intentional about making sure to keep that separate as well, meaning that RxJS is used, you know, in React, in Vue, in Ember, and all these other things. So even though the Angular team's supporting, they're not like forcing things onto RxJS that other people might not want. Angular right now is very focused on a lot of different things. There's two things that I'm particularly excited about. So one thing is the schematics, Angular schematics. So the CLI team has been working pretty heavily on that and sort of broken off. And now Hans Larsen, who is leading the CLI team, is mainly focusing on schematics. So it's just making it a lot easier to do Angular development and sort of customize how you want to use the CLI. We've seen projects like one of our friends, Vitaly, created this thing. It's basically like building in React, but using the Angular schematics to actually build with React, which has been really cool to watch and see. So there's been a lot of prototypes related to that. one thing that I'm very excited about, again, is the elements, Angular elements. So hopefully at some point in time, we're going to be able to like use web components really easily. And I think this has come from, I think if you're using JavaScript, you're always wondering, like, how do I shove Vue into React? And how do I shove Angular into React into Vue and all these other things? So Angular Elements is supposedly, they're actually doing it, but they're trying to make that a lot easier and trying to make building web components a lot easier because, I don't know, I mean, maybe it's a little hard right now to do.
Where I work, we do Angular, and when we heard about the Angular Elements, we were like, ooh, that'd be great for this thing. And then we looked up how to do it, and it was like, okay, well, never mind.
Yeah, it's definitely still in, I don't remember if it's an alpha or beta right now, but it's super awesome. Like, if you know what you're doing, there just needs to be a heavy amount of documentation still around it. And I mean, Angular team is very open to contributors and everything. So Clayton, if you get really bored and want to spend a week writing documentation on how to do elements, go for it.
To take a step back here for a moment, I think probably most everyone has heard of Angular. But I wonder if some people haven't actually heard of RxJS and mm-hmm. are a little bit unfamiliar with. Could you kind of let us know, quick definition for that, and you know what it's used for?
Sure. So well, reactive programming obviously comes in a lot of different flavors and different things like that. But RxJS is basically an abstraction that like helps you sort of deal with the idea of reactive programming. It is it's its own language that sort of sits on top of JavaScript. And that's one reason I really like it, because, you know, everybody deals with JavaScript fatigue, right? So this whole idea of like, oh, I need to learn another framework. Well, with RxJS, since it's a language that is framework agnostic, you can just learn Rx and just use it everywhere you want. So my favorite thing to actually do is try to figure out how much code, like how much Angular code I can copy paste into React, for example. Because really, I mean, in a lot of cases, it's about 90% copy paste. RxJS sort of has a few different ideas around it. So you have observers and you have observables, and then you have these different operators, right? I mean, it basically, again, it just kind of makes reactive programming a little bit easier. But I think the great part about it is once you learn it, it makes it really easy to do a lot of really complex things with your code. If you look at the different standards these days, so if you look at TC39 and WHATWIG, and you're kind of tracking things like there's a TC39 observable proposal that's kind of still stuck at stage one right now, you can look on GitHub and see all the different comments related to like why observables should be in the language itself, etc. View the spec. RxJS is actually is basically the spec, right? So like if you're using RxJS, the hope is to one day, if it gets introduced into the language, you won't have to use RxJS anymore. But I don't know how long that's going to take. yeah. So I don't know. I hope. Hopefully,
yeah, no, that's a perfect answer. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also the only external dependency to Angular, mm-hmm. RxJS. So a lot of people, if you're using Angular, use NgRx and different things like that. But it's pretty heavily tied to Angular as a framework. But I'll be honest, like a lot of people in React use it. A lot of times when I say RxJS, people are like, yeah, isn't that React? It's like, no, but maybe a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned JavaScript fatigue. It seems like that has been an issue, at least for me and probably a large majority of the development community. But it seems like, at least in recent months, that the individual communities, the big players, the Reacts, the Angulars, and Vues mm-hmm. are kind of really learning from each other and working collaboratively to develop a better ecosystem and put together better documentation and really help out the community. It seems like maybe they're not slowing down, but at least they're not all traveling in opposite directions anymore. Do you get that sense?
Yeah, I feel like if you're doing, you know, if you're jumping from framework to framework, which I typically tend to do, everything is the same thing reinvented over and over and over again. And I think the benefit of a lot of the conversations that have been happening and different framework authors and core team members actually talking to each other is the fact that they're not developing in silos anymore, right? So they're able to be like, oh yeah, we have that, or oh, this is how we solve our problem. I sort of remember back in the day, which is not that long ago. I mean, this was like 3 or 4 years ago, where you know, Ryan Florence and Michael Jackson were like, screw you, Ember, you know, and then like created, I don't remember what they created, but then like Ember was like, well, screw you, we created Glimmer. And, you know, this is great because it was sort of this like healthy competition that drove everybody forward. But then I think in the past year or so, maybe 2 years, what we've seen is the framework authors just say like, cool, let's just hang out. Now we all know each other. Like, let's actually work together. And we do a lot of that stuff through the Stunt Media. We will do things like state of frameworks, state of browsers. We'll do things like contributor days, like Angular contributor days, for example, where we invite different people who are from the Ember or React team to talk through these things. Because perspective is so important.
Yeah, and you mentioned documentation, and it seems like that's a topic that has been improving across all programming languages and frameworks and libraries, that everyone's documentation is getting better because it seems like they're really taking the time to invest in that and show people the amount of work and the amount of functionality that is available in these particular libraries. Do you have any personal experience in documentation or any advice to those looking to help out with documentation?
I think, so here's a funny thing about documentation. So everybody wants to, when everybody looks at open source, they think, hey, I'm not qualified because obviously like I'm only qualified to use this framework, right? And that might be true, but you look at Adi Osmani, who is, leads the Chrome developer relations team, and he got his start into open source by helping with the jQuery documentation. Right. And then meeting the core contributors there. And that, you know, he kind of used that as his first foray in. I think Dan Abramov as well started doing it through the documentation. I currently lead the RxJS docs team. And I'll tell you that, you know, we've had people start with the docs and just say like, hey, I'm going to help out with these small little things that are so important and that, you know, people really care about. And they've become core team members. Same thing for me, right? Like I started with the docs. I just said, okay, nobody's going to do it. So I'll just do it. And I started it. And then all of a sudden I was on the core team. So I think these types of things are really important to do. I think what's actually been really interesting as I've seen is everybody has different ways of thinking about documentation. So especially as beginners, I think a lot of senior developers will say, yeah, well, just look at the API docs or just read the source code. But obviously as a beginner, okay. But then like, you know, I sort of have to pull the guys back sometimes because they'll be like, oh, this should only be 2 or 3 sentences. It's like, well, you're not explaining anything to me as a beginner in 2 to 3 sentences. Like you need to actually have better documentation for beginners. Angular does a really good job at this. Native Script as well. Their documentation is really good because they have these sort of like, cookbooks. I don't want to call it a cookbook, but it's like a how-to step-by-step. Here's how you would get started. React before, they're actually working on this a lot this year because React's documentation was very, is very like formal, very API driven, not very friendly to somebody who just wanted to like read through something and try to figure out how something worked. It kind of made a lot of these assumptions, but I do agree that like, throughout the industry, people have started really working on that. So come contribute. I mean, it's so easy, you know?
Well, and documentation is probably the best way to get your pull request approved. You know, yes. It's not there because a lot of people don't want to do it. And by doing the documentation, you really put yourself in a good light with the maintainers of that particular open source project.
Absolutely. It's a great way to get your career started. Dominic Ferralino, who interns at all the different, like, I think he last interned at Microsoft, but he was at Mozilla before, and now he's going to be interviewing for Chrome, and now he's on, he's like a what wig, I don't know what, chair or maintainer or something like that. He got started by just helping with the docs. So you can really jumpstart your career fast.
Yeah, it seems like open source is really becoming more and more prevalent and more accepted in the industry. Even, you know, large financial institutions and healthcare providers and things are much more open to accepting of open source projects and open source software.
Yes, I would totally agree with that. And I think the biggest problem these days is it's like, okay, but how do you get them to actually pay for helping? And I know like the Node project sort of does this, right? Where it's like, okay, you have the Node maintainers, right? The technical steering committee. And then you have the foundation where large companies who care about the technology will actually become corporate members and like donate back to helping the growth of Node and the sustainability of Node. And I'm so curious to see how our industry is going to handle that in the future.
Yeah, and that's kind of a tricky topic to navigate as well. Like the purchasing of GitHub by Microsoft, there were so many mixed feelings, and it seemed like Twitter just blew up on both sides, supporting and just venting about the madness that was happening as a result. But you know, without the support by a large organization like that, whether it's Microsoft or Google or I think I heard a number of other companies were in the running for that as well, then GitHub might not have made it much longer, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know the little details about that, but I am very happy that I'm on the side that like I really like how Microsoft has changed as an organization. So I'm really happy about the purchase.
So would you care to talk to us? You kind of mentioned a little bit, but this.labs and kind of what you guys are doing and you know what it's kind of your experience in co-founding that.
Yeah, the reason why I like to exist is by helping other people. So I get a lot of joy in helping other people, and that's kind of why we started this.labs and this.media sort of together. So we do so much for the community in terms of events and evangelizing JavaScript in general and trying to get the community to sort of work together. But then on the lab side, the sort of more, you know, work we have to feed ourselves side, we get to do a lot of really cool things related to actually helping companies. So a lot of times you have consultants who come in and maybe they'll just, you know, work on code. And then it's really hard internally, I think, for teams who hire consultants to actually maintain that code because, you know, the knowledge base is gone. So what we try to do when we do that is we not only do just general consulting / augmentation, but in addition to that, we'll do things like pairing as a service or, you know, that way we can help educate the teams that we're actually working with. Another thing that really excites me is this whole idea of open source lobbying. So we tend to work with we actually work with small businesses and large businesses, but I'll give you an example when I can't name names, but this one large organization really wanted us to get some changes landed in React Native. And they were like, no, this about the framework like needs to fundamentally change. But like, who's going to accept that PR, right? Like, you just, I don't know, like you can't just, you know, change a framework. But since we work with a lot of different core contributors of different frameworks and libraries, there's like a right way to do it. So we try to help guide those companies into making the right PRs or basically talk to those maintainers in a way that it's like, oh, okay, I could see your point of view. Oh, okay, this would work. Or like, okay, maybe you're not fundamentally changing X, but like this is how we should actually do implementation on that. So that type of stuff is super fun.
It's kind of like an ambassador role almost.
Yeah, it's kind of true. Or even if you just like don't have time to submit a PR to do whatever, like we can help with those types of things as well.
Have you gotten any pushback from trying to sell your services to companies, or how do you approach companies, or do companies seek you out and ask for your services directly?
I think it goes both ways. I mean, we do outreach to different companies, but then at the same time, I think all the stuff that we've done for the community, we sort of believe in it coming back to us. And so a lot of the stuff we've done has basically just been inbound. And I think the nature of the people that we work with, right? We have a lot of different mentors on our team and people who have co-founded, like myself, Jay Phelps and Ben Lesh co-founded This Dot Labs, right? So it's like you're already working with a framework authors and contributors. And sometimes it's easier, you know, like sometimes it's really annoying. Actually, I have to tell you, sometimes I'm like, dude, I should not have to be like literally DMing somebody on the CLI team to figure out why the hell this bug is. Like, should not be the case. But sometimes, unfortunately, the way open source goes, that is the case. So in terms of helping companies, I think we're always open and interested in helping random companies. And we sort of get it both ways, whether it's people hearing about us and just messaging us, or whether it's us like reaching out and saying like, hey, we'd love to help you.
Speaking of direct messaging, on Twitter, you earlier you had mentioned that you were kind of giving some speaking tours and talking about sort of the importance of Twitter. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I have this amazing talk I keynoted at the last FluentConf on the whole idea of how open source can help change the ratio with diversity and different things like that. And a few different stories. Actually, this just came up in my Twitter feed recently. There was this girl who said, oh my gosh, I just got my first job as a developer. And she said the way she did it was because I have this list called Fempire on my Twitter. And all I do is like every time I see a female in tech, I just add them to the list just in general. And I tweeted about it once and then it got written about. And then all of a sudden, all these women on my feed were like, oh my gosh, I just got hundreds of followers and they're not spam. What's going on? You know? And people would be like, oh yeah, Tracy added you to a list. So this is amazing because it's like this very intentional way of like trying to help achieve diversity in like our tech community. But you know, seeing somebody get a job because of it is super awesome. Part of my keynote was also talking about Addy. And since he was keynoting another talk with me, or not with me, but like he was keynoting before me. But you know, he talks to people there, right? I remember my boyfriend, and this is kind of why I got into JavaScript, I have to be honest, because he was doing JavaScript and I was like, what's that JavaScript thing that you're doing? But anyways, that's typically how it happens, right? So he was very excited about JavaScript and he was so in awe of these people. And I'm like, who are these people that you're so excited about? And it was just random people on Twitter that were part of the core team. I'm like, okay, well, here's all the people on the internet. How hard is it? And then a year later, I was literally surrounded by just core maintainers of different frameworks and libraries. And I was like, well, I should probably be a useful human and like start a company, you know? And that's how everything started, right? So like, even for me, my last two companies, I fully built on Twitter, just like hanging out, figuring out what the latest is. I think a lot of people also don't realize, how much, you know, it's like, you feel like you don't have anything interesting to say, but I mean, I spent last weekend, I was like, what, you know, the React community really likes to post about food. So I'm just sitting there looking at what everybody's eating and then just getting excited about it and then just like making the same food that they're making. I mean, it doesn't have to be related to tech, right? But I can guarantee you that I can build relationships that way. So I would super encourage people just in general, like get on the internet, talk to random people. It'll be fine. Like you don't have to be that interesting and you can work to be interesting in the future. I guess.
Yeah, I think it was maybe 4 or 5 months ago that you had tweeted out the female developer list.
Yeah.
And so I looked at the list and ended up following probably 300 or so female developers and really enjoyed the things that people are posting. without having seen your list, I'm afraid I would have missed some of the great posts that are happening. So appreciate that. But yeah, the tech people on Twitter are incredibly approachable, and you can, many of them have open DMs, so you can have private conversations with them. If they don't have open DMs, then you can tweet at them and they're just as likely to respond. If you're annoying them, then they can very easily just ignore you and no harm, no foul. So yeah, I would absolutely encourage people to get involved and start up a conversation with someone that has the same interest as you, or maybe is developing something interesting that you have an interest in.
I'll tell you one story about Twitter. When I was more doing like traditional tech startup, whatever traditional tech startup means, I was very interested in fundraising. And so I went and found all the venture capitalists on Twitter in the Bay Area. And at the time I was, full-time in the Bay Area. And there was this one venture capitalist I really wanted to connect with. But obviously, like, how many, people approach him? So he was tweeting about brown rice sushi, and I was like, oh, are you at this one place? And he said, yeah, I'm here. This is so great. And I was able to get a sit-down meeting because I randomly talked to him about brown rice sushi. Like, I still remember that moment very clearly in my head. Or actually, the first time I got on Twitter, I tweeted about Guy Kawasaki, and he started talking back to me. I think he was the first person who actually talked to me on the internet. And so I didn't even know who this guy was. And then I Googled him. I was like, oh man, Guy Kawasaki's talking to me. This is crazy. Like, this is actually a very important thing, this Twitter thing. So highly recommend.
So one of the questions that we ask all of our guests is if they have any advice for anyone who's just getting into the industry or trying to improve their current career path. Do you have any advice for anyone in that situation?
Yeah, I would say that beginners very heavily underestimate the amount of knowledge that they have, because you go to these conferences and you see all these people talking about the latest things that you literally have no idea what the hell they're saying, and you think that they're too smart for you, and like one day you'll get there. But it's very refreshing when beginners come in and just, hey, I'm going to write a blog post about getting started with this technology. I'm going to write a blog post about, the week research I did between, using GraphQL or Redux. I'm going to write a blog post about how on earth I got started with Angular Elements. Those types of blog posts about just, let me just write down what the heck I'm doing. And honestly, I used to use that just to reference back, like, what the heck I did and how on earth I did it. Those have been like the most popular things. And that's how I actually got started. I think I was only doing development for a few months. And then one of my friends was, hey, why don't you give a talk on how to, how to do Ember. Ember was my first framework of choice. And I did, and I was so freaked out and nervous about it. And then, one or two years later, like, actually, that's all I did last year. I think I just like, how do you get started with React? How do you get started with Ember? Here's how you use all the CLIs. Here's how you get started with React Native. And they were super popular because, people look for those things. So do not underestimate that. I think also don't underestimate just like submitting to conferences, right? I mean, sure, maybe it's scary, but it shouldn't be scary because, you'll probably get accepted. And if you don't, you can keep trying. But just put things out there. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. I mean, Ben and I, Ben Lesh and I, who were both on the ArcGIS core team, a lot of times I have this thing called YOLO Brolo, and I will literally just dump trash onto YOLO Brolo and record it and put it on the internet. Part of the reason is because I want people to realize that everybody struggles. And I love it when, Ben is like supposedly, and he is, he's very smart, but he's like so smart. And, he's like writing ArcGIS. And I get to teach him things about random things I know about Polymer or like lit HTML, And it's great, right? I feel so special and excited when I could actually like do those things. But again, as a beginner, you should look at all these people, and everybody specializes in different things, but you can also specialize in that thing that you're excited about. I think also just doing what you're excited about, like don't do something you don't like because you will be in hell and you don't want to be in hell.
Yeah. And I saw a great tweet the other day that was effectively, all of the new and junior developers out there, just be sure to know that all the senior devs have Googled the most basic syntax every day.
Yes.
That's awesome. Do you have any resources for anyone, like your blog or anything else that you want to share?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter, Lady Leet, if you like, and I can always help there, or, you know, start a Twitter account, tweet at me. I'll say, hey, I'll be nice. I promise. Medium, I'm Lady Leet on Medium as well, if you want to follow me there. We also do a podcast called the Modern Web Podcast, which we get excited about. I think this dot as well, if you visit the website, so if you Google this dot media, that's DOT media. It's terrible, terrible, terrible name of a company, I have to say. But anyways, if you Google this dot media, you'll see a lot of amazing events that we do related to just bringing the JavaScript community in general together. So feel free to check those out. And I don't know what else, but I'm happy to be here.
Sounds good. What about any upcoming speaking engagements?
Let's see. I'm keynoting at Angular Taiwan very soon. And I think that's my last one for the year. I'm getting married this year, so I needed to slow down and stop.
Congratulations.
And plan a wedding. Thank you.
probably should take some relaxing time a little bit.
Yes.
All right, Tracy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Tracy Lee. Tracy is a Google developer expert, JavaScript developer, and serial entrepreneur. She's the co-founder of This.Labs, a framework agnostic agency helping mentor teams build ambitious apps.
If you liked this episode, please like, rate, and review on iTunes.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at SixFigureDev.
This has been another episode of the Six Figure Developer Podcast, helping others reach their potential. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I am John Ash.